And now the game where we like to invite experts to come onto the show just to ask them about something else entirely. Those Americans who are watching sports late at night, say, and they can't find any baseball or football or basketball or golf or NASCAR or lacrosse,
wrestling,
bowling,
Scrabble, might find themselves
curling,
finally setting on this very odd game where people chase this ball around in a field with no equipment at all. It's called soccer. It seems very popular in other parts of the world. Well, it's got some sort of big tournament coming up. But to explain this exotic game to us Americans, we've put in a call to Stephen Cohen, soccer expert and real-life British person. He's the host of the radio shows World Soccer Daily and Fox Football Friday. Stephen Cohen, welcome to Wait Wait.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us.
Yep, and actually in most parts of the world, it's actually called football.
Well, that's wrong, though.
They're lying.
Let us address the great conundrum of soccer right away.
Okay.
Everybody on the entire planet loves and plays soccer. It's the global game. The one exception is the United States.
Right.
Why? What's wrong with us, or what's wrong with soccer?
Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with you.
Okay.
You're like Labradors. You need to be petted all the time, otherwise your ADD kicks in. Why is it not big here? Go to a basketball match, right? How many baskets do they score? 200? 300? 900? You guys need to be scored on. You need a lot of it. It needs to be loud, thunderous, blah.
So you're saying we're just too impatient?
You are a nation of ADD addicts.
Really? I have to say, though, I mean...
I've lost interest in this.
Yeah. Let's move on to something else. Yeah. I have been to one big-time European soccer match. It was in France. It was Olympique de Marseille against some Italian team. Everybody was very excited. I sat there for an hour, watched these people run around. Nothing happened. There was no score. It was a nil-nil match.
Right.
Explain to me why that wasn't the most wasted hour of my life.
You make my point for me exactly. I have seen some unbelievably exciting and brilliant nil-nil draws. All it really means is nobody scored.
Really?
No, even we Americans were able to figure that out.
All right, go on, Stephen.
The flip side of that is what you would really like in America is something like 4 or 5 nil, where the other team has thrashed the other team, which is not competitive at all. In baseball, if you get a one run to nothing game, everyone goes, oh man, that's a great pitching duel, man. We really got, oh man, that guy's great. In football, it's a little bit different. It's a little more subtle. I don't expect you guys to get it.
Well, I will point out to you, and this may be too subtle for the American audience here, but I'll try.
Okay.
The difference between that 1-0 baseball game and the nil-nil match I saw in Europe is, in the baseball game, somebody won.
Right.
Which I would think is the whole point of, say, sports.
Well, yes, maybe, but it's not as if they don't try to score, just sometimes they don't succeed in scoring. Can I just make a point?
You may make a point.
You're asking me these questions about football or soccer, whatever you want to call it. You might want to check out how the rest of the world looks at something like American football.
Well, let me ask you about that, because you're a European, you've been living here in America for some time. What is your view of our amusing American sports?
Now, let me preface my answer by saying that my father-in-law, may he rest in peace, was John Elway's high school football coach in Granada Hills here in Southern California. Now, we look at an American football game and we go, let me get this straight. This game is 60 minutes long and it takes, 3.5 hours to play? The basketball game is 48 minutes, yet the better half of 2.5 hours is taken up. Now, you explain this to me. Your athletes, specifically in football, don't really have to do anything for more than, say, 6 seconds at a time, and then they take a rest, and they have a timeout.
Well, I don't understand.
Where is the nuance?
In soccer, where do you put the commercials, though?
No, you see, the difference, really, if you want to know the real serious answer, is that American sports are all about coaching, and football and soccer are all about the players and the execution.
For those of us who are ignorant about such things, what are the few things we should be watching for in the World Cup so we could generate some interest in it?
You've got Brazil, who will dazzle you and will make you smile, and they play such pretty football. You've got the Germans, who will just do nothing but bore you to death. The Italians will fall over a lot and pretend they're injured, and the Spanish... they're going to win, but they'll be out in the first round. And the English, Well, they'll come up with every excuse they can come up with as they meekly exit the tournament in the quarterfinal stage. But it is, to be fair, the biggest sporting event on the planet. If you took the audience that will watch each game and added it all up, 26 billion people. We can't all be wrong. Come on.
Well, I have to ask one question. Given all that, what will happen in this world if the United States wins the World Cup?
Oh, God. It would be Armageddon.
The end of the world. Everybody else would have to take up some completely different sport, like, you know, ping pong or tiddlywinks or something, just to exclude us again.
The worst thing that would happen is that illustrious and brilliant genius of a president would have to have the team at the White House, and he wouldn't know what kind of bull they use.
Well, speaking of competition, Stephen Cohen, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling
Do Whatever It Takes to Win, and then promise an investigation afterwards.
Okay.
Everybody knows that unlike certain American athletes we might name, soccer players always, always play the game strictly according to the rules, right?
Not so much, but okay.
All right, it's a premise. Let's move forward. That's why, in keeping with our theme of asking you about things you know nothing about,
okay,
we're going to ask you three questions about cheating in sports.
Okay.
Get two out of three right, one of our listeners will get Carl Castle on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Stephen Cohen playing for?
Peter, he is playing for Alex Solarte of Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Okay.
Ready to play? All right. One of the greatest and most famous cheats in American sporting history was Jimmy Gronin. Your question? Who was Jimmy Gronin? Was he A, the guy who dressed up in a female horse suit to distract and thereby handicapped the favorite for the 1934 Kentucky Derby? B, the 1972 soapbox derby winner who illegally powered his homemade wooden car with electromagnets? Or C, the guy who poured gelatin into the pool at the 1991 NCAA swimming championships to slow down the racers?
Okay, right. I have reached a decision, and I feel it's probably going to be wrong, but I'm going to go with the bloke at the Kentucky Derby.
Bloke at the Kentucky Derby, then.
Sounds excellent.
It does sound excellent, and perhaps they'll try that next year, but I'm afraid it's not true. The right answer was B, the soapbox derby winner.
I was going to go either one or three.
Yeah.
Good at this game.
Little Jimmy Gronin, 14 years old, broke the heart of America when it was revealed that he had cheated to win the soapbox derby by placing a sophisticated electromagnet in the front of his car. No problem. Okay. You still have two more chances.
I'm sorry, Alex. I'm trying my best, mate.
An Algerian long-distance runner named Abbas Tahami managed to win the 1991 Brussels Marathon this way. He had his coach run the first half of the race for him. Then he pinned on the number, they swapped it, and he finished the race, all fresh. But they were instantly discovered. How? A, as he ran across the line, he yelled, it worked, nobody caught us. B, after the award ceremony, he strolled back to where he had left his gear at the halfway point. Or C, his coach has a mustache, he does not.
All right. I'm going to go with number two.
Number two.
He followed him and when he went to get his gear at the halfway point.
No, that would have been too smart for this guy.
His coach had a mustache.
He does not.
Alex, I can only give you my deepest condolences.
It's all right. Well,
no,
you know,
it's the nuances of the way you're playing.
Right. Yeah. Yes, you're not winning, but with such style. All right, you have one more chance here.
Okay.
Hall of Famer baseball pitcher Don Sutton was known for bending the rules, accused once of doctoring the ball with a foreign substance. How did he respond? A, quote, not true at all. Vaseline is manufactured right here in the United States. B, quote, something must have happened to the ball on the way to home plate. I mean, there's a whole 60 feet of potential mischief. Or C, quote, I can't be held responsible if the hitters won't clean off their bats.
I am going to go with I can't be held responsible if the batters don't clean their bats.
That would have been a great thing for him to say. But in fact, he said, No. Vaseline is, in fact, a domestic product.
That's very funny, actually.
That is a good line. Why we admired him for it.
That's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. So, Carl, how did Stephen Cohen do in our quiz?
He finessed it too much, Peter. He didn't score. So, So that means no...
It's still entertaining.
No,
exactly.
It was very entertaining.
No prize for Alex Solarte.
Wow.
Alex.
But watching you run back and forth in the field to no ultimate point was really satisfying aesthetically. And I'm sure we're now prepared for the exciting matches of the World Cup.
Right on.
Stephen Cohen is the host of the radio shows World Soccer Daily and Fox Football Friday, and he is also the official soccer expert of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Stephen Cohen, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you.